my only thought is that will it be a 90 degree angle?
Well, if you have such an assumption, you can test it for different conditions. You can have here, and would it make a 90 degree angle? Would it make it shorter? You can, and so on. You have to try. It looks like this is very long, and so on. What do you know about the shortest distance between two points? What is the shortest distance between two points? Okay. Could you use that idea here?
Yeah, I was thinking if you move the line at the point below, or the line up to the first point, you would just go from that point to the...
To the next, yes. Okay, yes. But here you cannot change. You have this point, you have this point here. Still, how could you use the idea that the shortest distance is a straight line? By the way, it seems like it was something with a dog that also was able to solve this problem. From here to here, the dog will choose quite well the shortest distance all the time. Well, the key is still using the idea that the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. And the other idea is reflection. If you reflected this here and draw this line here, then this line and this line have the same length. So what you have to do is reflect this, because this and this have the same distance, and this is the shortest one, because from here to here you have a straight line. So you could solve this problem by mathematics. You could enter the coordinates of this, the coordinates of this, call this x and y, and create a minimum problem from this given point A, which is fixed, to this going point B to x and y, and what is the property of x and y, so that you have x and y. Y is fixed, because you could say it's zero, so it's only x. So you have a minimum problem with respect to x. If you do that, you spend a lot of time, and you find a solution. But the simplest one is simplify. Try to use things that you know from before. So when you have things like shortest distance, think of a straight line and so on, try to use it. So I'm trying to encourage you to look for creative ways of solving a problem and not choosing the path immediately, but consider alternatives. So this, I told you about Unsager solving a problem, and he wrote an article of 80 pages. Later, a mathematician, he was originally from Poland, his name was Mark Katz, he understood that the problem that Unsager was trying to solve was equivalent to a different problem, which is called a random walk, where you take a step and then randomly to the right or left or so, all the time randomly. And it turned out that that problem was much simpler to solve. So instead of 80 pages of calculations, you had only 2 pages, which is an enormous simplification effort. Okay, so back to this, because all this was just anecdotal. So the model is like this. You have the throughput, the investment is increasing it, and you have a growth rate. And this model, you find it in, I think there's a zip file, isn't that so, for that? It's not this one. is perhaps this one. Yes. So, in this model, we have a flow, investment, which is adding to the throughput, and the equations are the throughput originally some value, say 100, and it increases through this investment. The growth rate, it's 0.08, which should be 8%. And the equation for investment is throughput times the growth rate, which is basically what happens in a bank. The only thing is that here the interest come every time step, so the increase comes every time step. And when you simulate this, then you get a continuous growth. It seems like it is small growth, but after all, there are not so many years. In reality, this is an exponential growth. It's growing 8% every year. And here you can, if you like, put different assumptions. If you change and put 9%, you see the difference. If you change 10% and so on. So 15%, that will be a lot more, and so on. So you can see how big difference there is from 8% to 15% in terms of millions of crowns. If you are originally at 100 or so, then you end up at 500 if you have 50% rate, and only 150 if you have 8% rate. It's a tremendous difference, and so on. Okay, so that was the first part of the model. Which only contains the n intended loop. That's the ideal situation for the company. Does this make sense for you? Okay. So, then the next step. The model, you can look at it and choose with different scenarios and so on. And you get this one, comparing with 8% and 15% and 10% here. It's different values. Okay. So here are the usual things that I remind you that in reality, it is not enough just to put a model and simulate something. You should look at all kinds of aspects of it so that you enhance its credibility. So, this was the model that I put in there. And I think I have it here. We had it actually before, this model. We had it last term, so somewhere it is this model. So you have seen that before. And if you simulate that, then the security initially high decreases over time, because we are assuming here that the security gain is zero. We are neglecting security. And we are seeing the security level just decrease over time.
Can you explain how that is, the security level is in this simulation of the world right there? How is that the loop?
You have here the loop. When you have this, the obsolescence depends on how much security you have, and it depends on some time constant. Then, in principle, you have a loop because this influences this, and this part influences this with negative p. because it is subtracting. So security level influences the obsolescence influences security level. It is a balancing loop, yes. A very simple one. Okay. But then you have to connect them, and this becomes a little bit complex, and there you see why an archetype is not simple enough. So what it says here is originally the growth factor, which depends the growth rate on investment, is divided now in two things. Partly goes to the growth rate of the investment, partly you put into security. So whatever you put in to grow, you cannot implay in resources and security. They add up. And then you have to determine how the investment in security influences the maintenance, how fast the security decreases. We are still in the unintended consequence. So we are not actually investing in security. We are simply assuming that the decision to grow has an influence on how quickly the security decreases. And we have to put in how the security level influences the actual growth of the company. Take this part here as the consequences of security. So if security is high, the effect of security on the growth rate should be positive. If security is low, this should decrease the growth rate. And to understand this, I use the following as assumption here. So the management organization decides how much to invest. And to make it simple, so that we can create a simulation, the growth factor is a value between zero and the unity. If the growth factor is unity, everything goes to growth, nothing goes to security. If the growth factor is less than one, then some investment goes to security, some resources go to security. But then the company grows less. So you have a trade-off. You can decide to put a lot on growth and forget about security, but then security hits back. Or you can invest less in growth and put something in security, so you reduce the losses. And that's the question, how far do you go? And that's a typical problem of the security manager. How would you argue? Suppose you are employed by Statoil, and you have to justify how much to invest on security, return on investment. And the investment on security is not because it produces growth. It doesn't. Security doesn't lead to more oil directly. But your argument will be, if you don't invest in security, you're going to have downtimes. So you will get less oil. But then, how do you convince how much you should invest? That's a typical problem of the security manager. And one possibility will be creating a simulation model. This is a very simple simulation model. But then I am making a number of assumptions that I don't know if they are true. So for instance here, that's the way how I link security with throughput. And I say security zero, then throughput is very low because you have downtime all the time. If you invest in security, then throughput increases. If you put too much in security, then you don't get you don't get so many gains anymore, because you are getting this problem with diminishing returns. So what I am putting here is lacking real data for Statoil. I am making an educated guess as to how security and throughput connect. Very little security means it impairs a lot of throughput in the growth factor. As you are adding security, it improves slowly first, then quickly. But then investing more and more and more in security in the end doesn't give you more security and doesn't lead to more throughput. So once you found the optimum of investment, suppose if you have to invest 10 million a year in improving and maintaining security, you invest 11 minutes, 11 or 12 or 20 minutes, you don't can improve anymore. So that's kind of what this curve is trying to express. If you were doing this model for Statoil, then of course these numbers here, you wouldn't invent them than I did. I'm convinced that you will get such an S-shaped curve. But the how it goes and how quickly it grows and whether it bends off here or later, this we will have to find out from empirical studies or whatever, or from modeling how Statoil is and so on. So this is a quick and dirty way of putting a connection between security level and the effect on growth. So this you will have to play with the model yourself. I am giving you a high-level overview of it. If you look now at the model here, there are two factors, two things that we have to connect. One is how we can impact the obsolescence time here, and the other one is how the security level, through the investments, the other one is how the security level will impact the growth rate of the company. This here is, the idea is also security, high security preserves the growth. Bad security through the incidents and downtime decreases the growth. And this here, the effect of security on the growth rate, is this one that I showed you, where I have making some assumptions, lacking empirical data. If you were modeling this for Statoil, then you will interview, you will go to the experts, you will ask for data, okay, how much did you invest in security, how many incidents did you have, and so on, and try to create an empirical curve for this. But even if you don't have the data, there are some things that are kind of reasonable. So like a little investment in security doesn't lead very much, doesn't help much. You have to invest sufficiently. And then you have some optimum where it increases most, and beyond that point, you have the law of diminishing returns. It is like training. If you start training and train a little, you don't improve much. As you are putting more effort, more training and so on, you start becoming better. But then you have an optimum. And once you pass that optimum, yes, you can train more and more, but becoming like a swimming champion, swimming 1 second faster, that's very difficult to achieve, or even half a second and so on. So you have the law of diminishing return. And that's basically, they are typically on the S, like these S curves. But again, the data, the empirical data, the numbers and so, that's something that you need to determine through studies and so. Okay. The other thing here is, here is trying to express the relative amount to space. I am a little bit confused now as to where we are looking. Let me see. We are looking at this. This is standing in the model. So this part of the model that I am emphasizing here is acknowledgement that as the company is growing, then you have more need to invest than if the company is small. So actually that's what I call the needed security factor. So you are modeling a company like Statoil for years, and as the company is becoming bigger, it's expanding and expanding, then the requirements become bigger and bigger. So that's what the what I try to express there. Again, with a number of assumptions as to how this connects. And in slide 18, it is expressed the assumption, namely, that investing in security has two different impacts. One is to maintain and upgrade existing security controls, so to speak, to extend the life of the existing controls. And the second one is to increase the security by adding new controls and solutions. And here, I link this second part as to I link the part of to extending the life of the existing controls. In the model, I will show later how we create these tables, because at the moment, I am just explaining the tables. So in this case, it is relating some investment in security between 0 and 1, just to normalize that. And what we are seeing is how this impacts on the obsolescence time. Okay? And then we have this part here, which is the one I am trying to explain. And that gives you the whole model here. So let's have a look at the model in Vensim and show that for you. That is the what I call the RB loop. Okay, so I will make it a bit bigger. Okay, so let's look at this one that I showed you. What I am trying to model is the connection between how much you have in security and how this affects the growth rate of the company. And to create this, we need an empirical function. So I will put that in the table, in the board. So in Vensim you have mathematical functions. We have used that before, for instance the ramp and so on. So Vensim functions, you have mathematical, and numerical, which typically are empirical. Empirical means it comes from experience, it comes from measurements, perhaps interviews or whatever. So, mathematical function, suppose you wanted to define security factor by mathematics, then you could look at functions here, and then you have all kinds of functions. This is an exponential function, exp. You have logical functions, maximum, minimum, pulse, ramp, random, sinus, smooth, whatever. All these are functions, mathematical, like in Excel. But we have also numerical. And I will show you how it looks like. If you look at the function, at the variable effect of security on growth rate, then that's what it says. It is a function. Table for effect of security on growth rate as a function of the security level. So you have, in this case, effect of security on growth rate. It's a long name. That's what the name of the function is. Or that's what we are trying to compute. And the function is table for effect of security on growth rate. Very long name. So that's a function. And it depends on the security level. So what this will do is, you have some number here, security level, say 0.7. And then this table will numerically compute for you some result. Okay? So, how is this table defined? Let's have a look. You see it here. That's the table. And now we click on that, and you see a look like this. So this is a numerical function. Hard to understand? Yes, but we'd never do it like this. That's the way Vensim expressed the function. But when we create it, first of all, we select a variable called lookup. You see that here? Type lookup. If you look at some other variable, like this one, it is an auxiliary. You see it here, auxiliary. But in this case, we have selected a lookup. So that's the first thing you do. Okay? And then to create the lookup, you don't enter these square numbers. Rather, you click as graph. And you create the graph. You can actually draw it. So each of these points here can be changed. So you could, in principle, click here, and you could do so, and you could change things and make this and so on. So that's a possibility. But normally you have a table of numbers, and then what you do here is you create the x's here, the input, and there the y's. We will do this in a moment. So, in a different exercise. I am trying to explain you first. So, this is the input, the x, and that's the y. So, it says, for input 0, the output is 0. This is this point. For input 0.1, the output is 0. This is this point. For input 0.2, the output is 0.25. This is this point. And so on and so on. And you determine the range of the x here. The x max, you see, we say it's 1. The y max is 1. Actually, this is more for the scaling, because if you put the x 2 here and y max 2, okay, then you have this display. So the reason why I put 1 and 1 there is because it covers the range of the x and it covers the range of the y's. Okay. Then you would say, okay, but this is not really a function because you have points. And between the points, you have straight lines. That's right. So what VenSim does is, if the input comes here, not at 0.3, but 0.35, then it finds the value of y in between by extrapolation. Okay? Now, if you have VenSim there, let's create that for us. So let's create a new model. Simply start a new model. And let's create a variable that we call x, or we can call it input. Yes, call it input. And then create a new variable, which is output. And assume that the input influences the output. But how? Also, from x you compute y, okay, by a table. And you connect it like this. Okay? Do you have this simple model so far? Then x will vary, but let's put for the time being 3 or whatever. It doesn't matter. 3 is an dimensionless thing, because we are going to change it later. And then we compute a table. And the first thing we do is, because it's a table, it should be a lookup. So type, open here, no auxiliary, not constant, no data, no initial, no level, lookup. Okay. And then you see immediately a bracket, because it's expecting relations between input and output. And here you click as graph. And you are here. Are you there too, with us, Graph?
No, that's just the other.
Shall I wait for you? But still, she should see, give the same thing, perhaps slightly different. Yes. Okay. So let's assume that the input goes from 0 to 10. So x minimum 0 is okay. X max 10 is default, so we can keep it like this. And for the y max, we can put any value here. Suppose the maximum is 5. So we put in 5 there. Okay. Oh, no. Okay. 5. And then you start with the input. For 0, let's make an S-curve. 0, we assume that the output is 0. For 1, assume the output is 0.5. For 2, assume it is 2. For 3, assume it is 5. Oh, no, it's too little. Let's put 15 here. For 4, it's 10. For 5, it's 12. For 6, it's 13. For 7, is 13.8, something like this. For 8 is 14.3, and 9 is 14.8, and 10 is 50. Okay. then you got kind of an S curve. Okay? These numbers that I entered there, that was something that we had from the study. Okay? So, assume that the input is something that you can measure in a company, like investment in something, or resources added to something, and the output is the effect of that. Okay? And that's the numbers you got. You have made measurements, interviews, or whatever. Okay? So, and as I said, you can draw that as well. The problem with drawing is that usually you move the points a little bit, so you are no longer at 1 or 2, but at 1.2 or whatever. Click OK, and these queer numbers, they are a description of the table. It says it goes from 0.00 to 10.15. So X from 0 to 10, Y from 0 to 15. And the values are for 0 is 0, for 1 is 0.5, for 2 is 2, and so on. All these things that I did in the table are there. And this is Luca, the units dimensionless. Yes, it's not important now. We don't use the units. Okay, and then you go to the output, and the output with variables is a table that depends, bracket, on the input. Close bracket, dimensionless. So you compute the output as a table of the input. And the table is basically a numerical function. So if you click that, okay, then you got it. There is no time dependence, so there is no real simulation, but click on a simulation, nevertheless, nothing happens. Okay? And now you can visualize that. Simulate on chains, it looks a little bit different in your case. So the input is 3, you have some output. If you increase the input, then you can see the output increases, whatever. That's not very clear as seen, but you could create... you could create a graph with this graph, new, call it display, and you could put in, no, wait a moment, that's not a very clever thing, forget it. I think we rather use input-output object, and output workbench tool, and we put in the problem with this Vensim is that it doesn't have all the tools that I wanted to have. So how do we show this? Forget it about this again. Cancel. Perhaps nevertheless a graph. Okay, input, output, workbench tool, auxiliary, output, graph. Okay. Here you see the output, and if you move the input, then you can see it becomes bigger and bigger all the time. Now we have 15, the maximum. You decrease, you're here, and so on. So you can see all the time how this is computing. This is not the best of the graphs and so on, but you can use this to compute things, and it's changing the results and so on. So you see how, depending on the input, we get a different output. And this is computing according to this. You could also create a table, if you like, with both values and simulate this. So you get the idea how changing the input leads to a new output value based on the input that you have here. Okay? So this is just for illustration to show you that you can create table functions. Questions to that? This morning I look at this model for the archetype, and I think I found a simpler way of realizing the archetype, but I didn't finish the model. So I will try to do that and then upload it to Fronter using simpler ideas, because I think that the principles can be explained in a simpler way, still with these table functions and so on. Questions to this? These table functions we will use in the future in different exercises, and all the time consider then, if you don't have a mathematical function but you have a study that gives you a relation between variables, then you can put. That extends the ability of modeling enormously, because very rarely, in complex situation, it's very rare that you have a mathematical function that expresses the connection. Rather, you have done a study. So for instance, suppose you want to model the way people in Gallups think about the different, or votes would think for the different parties. So 1 month, the Gallup says 5% for Centre-Partier and 6% for Venstre and whatever. And you get the numbers, tables of numbers for the different parties and so on. So you cannot express this as a mathematical function. How was the voters' preference for the different parties over the year? But you would have tables, and you could put these tables in this way. So if you are simulating, for instance, how the preference of the voters for the parties influences the way the parties act to market themselves, to whatever. Suppose you had a social model for that. Then you could use as an input the results from the Gallups and create table functions for that. Okay. So now our pass, we take 15 minutes, and then I think I will have only 1 more hour and then we finish with this model here. But remember, it depends a lot on your working through the Mensim files and so on. So let's take a break. 15 minutes. And I will try to find a simpler exercise that you